Should the CEOs of failed banks be able to keep much of their salaries?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, better known as the FDIC, is expected to finalize a controversial new rule. That proposal would strip pay and bonuses from a big bank CEO if the bank CEO he or she leads goes under. But the banking industry says the so-called clawback plan goes much too far. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Top executives at AIG and Merrill Lynch got to keep hundreds of millions in pay after their firms got rescued. Under the FDIC's proposal, when regulators seize and liquidate a giant financial institution on the brink of collapse, they'll be able to snatch back 2 years' pay from the CEO, CFO, and chairman of the board. Banks say the rule's too vague. Scott Talbot represents big banks at the Financial Services Roundtable.
There's a presumption against the officers of the institution based on their title that they've done something wrong. So the proposed rule fails to take into account other factors that could lead to a company's demise.
Advocates of tougher regulation say the new clawback rules should reach farther down the food chain to mid-level executives who actually do sketchy deals that put a firm's finances at risk. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, markets are a little higher right now. The S&P up about 0.1%. NASDAQ more than that, about 0.2%. The Dow up 36 points now, 12,606. The number of planned layoffs in June was up slightly, but job placement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas says planned layoffs over the last 6 months were at their lowest level in more than a decade. The U.S. service sector continues to grow, but at a slowed pace, according to the private trade group Institute for Supply Management. And the South Korean city of Pyeongchang will host the 2018 Winter Olympics. That was decided just today by the International Olympic Committee. An announcement of sorts of something awesome is coming from Facebook in about, an hour and 7 minutes. Awesome, of course, is in the eyes of the beholder, so we don't know how awesome the news will really be. But this much is certain. Like we're doing right now, a lot of folks are talking about it, which means announcing an announcement as a business tactic works pretty darn well. Here's Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith.
The media has exploded with speculation about Facebook's announcement. Is it a Skype feature? Is it an iPad app? Here's tech analyst Rob Enderle.
Facebook is stealing a page from Apple, trying to build a feeding frenzy surrounding what it is they're going to announce tomorrow.
And the timing is no accident, says Brad McCarty, editor at The Next Web. He points out that Google's social networking site Google Plus was just unveiled.
Right now, Google Plus is kind of tromping all over the news. And so Facebook immediately shot back and said, oh, yeah, by the way, we're doing something really awesome.
It's also an intimidation tactic, says McCarty. He says when companies like Google and Facebook make an announcement, the entire industry listens. Making everyone wait just emphasizes that point.
You're talking about the category killers. These are essentially the Walmarts of the digital space. And they can go into any area and essentially wipe out anything else.
There is a risk to all the hype, says McCarty. If the announcement is underwhelming, you can expect a backlash that matches the buzz. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Fewer pieces of currency are rolling off treasury presses these days. Not so many dollar bills and five spots being made, according to a story in today's New York Times. 40 years ago, the value of U.S. currency in circulation across the country equaled about 5% of American economic activity. Last year, that number was half that, 2.5%. Benjamin Applebaum wrote the story today in the Times, and he joins us now to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what kind of money are we talking about? How much less money is being printed?
We talk about 6 billion notes are printed each year now. That's down from 9 or 10 billion a decade ago.
Wow.
Most of that is small denomination stuff, ones and fives and tens, and that's where the decline has been greatest. higher denomination stuff, $100 bills in particular, more and more demand for those from around the world.
No kidding. What does that say? Does that say people are richer? They need those 100s?
Yeah, you know, hundreds have kind of become a form of gold. It's something that people in a lot of foreign countries like to stockpile. If they don't trust their governments, if they don't trust their banks, they have confidence that that money will still be worth something.
You wrote in the article that there are no $10 bills that were printed last year. Why no $10 bill?
There's a combination of things going on. One is that we're using less money. More and more of our transactions, we swipe a card, we transfer money online, and so we just don't need as much currency. It's also the case that the Fed is getting better at keeping bills in circulation, so there's less demand for new ones.
It would seem to me credit card companies probably love this news, right?
Credit card companies have been making a lot of money from this trend for a long time. The credit card industry has really pushed to make this technology widely available. This has become a big profit center for banks. We've lately seen a lot of controversy in Washington about how profitable it should be, and that's likely to continue precisely because this is becoming more and more important.
Do you get the feeling, Benjamin, that paper currency is just going away and will go away completely at some point?
I really don't, at least not in our lifetimes. It's clearly being consigned to a smaller role, but there are things that we still do with paper currency that are awfully hard to replace. Paying babysitters, leaving money in a donation plate, gambling, all sorts of activities that are not going to be real easy to transfer to credit cards.
Benjamin Applebaum, New York Times reporter, joining us from Washington. Benjamin, thanks.
My pleasure.
And finally, researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee have found men with wider faces are 3 times more likely to lie and 9 times more likely to cheat to get ahead. Now, researchers say the wider a man's face, the more powerful he feels he is. And with that power, they say, comes aggressive, self-interested behavior. But the study that involved 200 business students also stresses that men with wide faces, width to height, right, also channel their unethical tendencies to be more constructive and successful without having to lie or cheat. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Alabama just passed a new immigration law. Word is it's even tougher than Arizona's, and local police, they are not pleased.
I think it gives us the authority to just hold a person without bond in our jail just because we suspect that they may be here illegally.
I'm Kai Rizal. What good's a law if the police won't enforce it? That story next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.